What a joy to be with you this morning, and what a joy to sing some of these songs in Spanish and worship the Lord together. I'm very aware that this is Hispanic Awareness Day, and I'm so indebted to my friend Bernie Moraga for this opportunity. At the same time, I'm very aware that my last name no es Gutierrez, and I just have an humble Anglo-Saxon name like Garrett. However, my 15 years as a missionary in Latin America have convinced me that there's much that we as Anglos have to learn from our Hispanic brothers, and perhaps our learning would be a part of our mission to them. I remember a day we had just gotten to the field in Argentina some 6 months earlier. There was a war on. In Argentina, we called it La Guerra de las Malvinas. Everywhere else in the world, they called those the Falkland Islands. And the British had set an armada coming our way. Alexander Haig was shuttle diplomacying, flying in and out of town. And things were tense. We actually thought that bombing could start at any time, so we were having blackouts in the city. And the attitude prevailing there was that the British happened to be the enemy of the moment, but the United States had been the friend who had stabbed us in the back. And in that tense moment where it could have been really dangerous to be associated with un norteamericano, 64 of our brothers and sisters from church decided to just come over to our home and say, "We're with you." Desde aquel momento, from that time forward, with that act of singular solidarity, anytime Hispanics want me to ante up and identify with them, I'm in. You guys are great. Love you. I also want to say how good it is to be with friends that have been special to me across the years. Ron Cook, how can I ever thank you enough for your love and support since we lived in Martin Hall right over here together? And during our undergrad days and then on through seminary, Hewlett Glower, thanks for the hours we studied together doing our doctorates at Southern Seminary and for the time we spent on the same church staff. Our text this morning is from Romans 10, 9 through 17. And I'm so glad for the readings that we've done. One from Isaiah that says that Jesus is prophesied as the light of the world, and that all of God's servants are to be that. And the other that speaks so eloquently of that great day that is coming when there will be a banquet set before us by the Messiah. And they'll come from the east and the west and the north and the south, and all the nations will come together to sit at the table. Here, the Apostle Paul talks about the essence of what it means to be a Christian, to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, and what that means for the entire world. He says, beginning in Romans 10, verse 9, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things. However, they did not all heed the glad tidings, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. La fe viene por el oír, y el oír por la palabra de Dios. In this text, Paul puts us climbing on a ladder of cause and effect, a logical sequence, thinking through what will it take For a lost world to come to know Jesus, God's Son, as Savior and Lord. Paul brings a doublet of quotes from the Old Testament, Isaiah 28:16 and Joel 2:32. Did you hear the Hebrew parallelism in his rabbinical proof? Whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Underscored emphatically, Jesus is the issue, the defining reality of all of life. And so then he goes on to say, well, what would it take for lost people to call? Why, first they must believe. And what would it take for lost people to believe? Well, they must hear. And what would it take for lost people to hear? Well, they have to have a proclaimer. And what would it take for a proclaimer to be in earshot of them? Oh, they must be sent. And when they're sent and they go, that is a beautiful thing. When I was the age of many of you all as a student, we used to think that this logic compelled us to invent denominations and missionary sending agencies. We can still use those to good effect. But in our day, Hispanics and others from what Philip Jenkins calls the believing South are challenging our old North American traditionalism and missions to say all it takes is getting up and going. So the title of my sermon is The New Global Mission, The Gospel from Everywhere to Everyone. Now, I need to pay tribute that my sermon title is actually the title of a very fine book by Samuel Escobar, a leading Hispanic missiologist. He's just a leading missiologist, whether you add Hispanic to it or not. I hope to pay tribute to the Hispanic contributions to world missions and challenge all of us to join in this cause. Also, we'll talk about the growth of evangelical Christianity in Latin America, from which we have lessons to learn. Hispanics are among the leaders of sending countries in the new movements of missionaries from what were traditionally known as missions fields. Before Thomas Friedman had suggested to us that the world was flat, hot, and crowded, and that defines our planet in the 21st century, Samuel Escobar was telling us what Hispanics understood, that all our North American institutions and missionary organizations and machinery could one day be obsolete. Now in the 21st century, anybody can go everywhere. The idea that Anglos here in the USA are the missionary senders and that all other peoples are receivers or the missionary fields, that idea must die. It is hopelessly chauvinistic. Sharing the good news is not a white man's burden. Arguably, it never has been. The burden and joy of sharing the good news that Jesus makes people better and he puts them on the road to heaven belongs to all believers, whatever their ethnicity or background and wherever they happen to live on the planet. One of the great events of our time is that people from what we once considered to be missions fields are now becoming missionary senders in their own right, and Hispanics are weighing in with an active commitment to share the gospel with all peoples. Escobar writes, Christian mission in the 21st century has become the responsibility of a global church. Just as Jesus was the Word made flesh among us in a particular culture and time, that incarnate Word lives on in the lives of followers who have planted the seed of the gospel all over the world among peoples of all cultures and languages. Among other things, this new reality in a world characterized by globalization means that it is now possible and even necessary for all faithful Christians, wherever they find themselves, to serve and witness to people on the far side of the globe from them, even as they cross the street to share with their neighbors. A new breed of Christ followers are emerging as the way to win the world for Christ in our generation. They are at one and the same time both global and local. We can call them glocal, as the term has been coined. A typical example of this, Escobar points out that there's a pastor for a Spanish-speaking congregation in Hanover, Germany, named Jose Antonio Gonzalez, precisely because Senora Pinto, a Bolivian lady who had also moved to Germany, shared the gospel with him there. There he was converted from his nominal Catholicism, abandoned his studies in industrial design, and entered the ministry. So in this case, as in thousands upon thousands of others, Escobar's dictum is true for our time. In the new global mission, the gospel is shared from everywhere to everyone. The roots of this have an illustrious past, an astonishing and remarkable present, and I hope a wonderful future that awaits us. Very briefly, I'd like to give you one cameo from each of those three dimensions. Many of us in the English-speaking world are not aware that there were Spanish Protestants, evangelicals if you please, earlier than the Reformers, or at least contemporary with them. When I was working on the Reina Valera Actualizada in the Casa Bautista de Publicaciones in El Paso as a New Testament editor on that translation project, I became really interested in Casiodoro de Reina and Cipriano de Valera, whose names the Spanish Bible still carries with them. The Reina Valera would be the equivalent of our King James Version, if you please. Not unlike their German counterpart, Martin Luther, these were monks in Sevilla who were stirred by the Spirit to reform their practice along biblical lines. In 1569, Casiodoro de Reina finished his translation of the New Testament and published it in what is known as La Biblia del Oso. We should like that down here at Baylor. It's called the Bear Bible. Reina had read carefully the prologue of Erasmus' Greek text, where he talks about the farmer singing words of Scripture as he plows his field. And he came to the conclusion that if the common folk could ever taste how sweet the Word of God is, they would never, ever turn loose of it again. And so in a sort of symbol of a verse taken from Psalm 90, where thy word is sweeter than honey in the honeycomb, there was a wood plate image of a bear robbing a beehive on the title page of the Bible, a symbol that if God's people ever found a way to get to his word, all the stinging bees in the world couldn't keep them away. He dedicated a copy of it to Felipe el Segundo, the reigning emperor and king of Spain, and who, upon reading it, pronounced him a heretic forthright. And Reina spent all of his years from that point forward as a refugee fleeing from one place to another, penniless. He died penniless, a refugee, martyr for the faith. Cipriano de Valera had quite a similar history. He realized that Reina's work had been done a little bit hurriedly, so he revised it thoroughly, and in 1602 put out a smaller version that would be a little bit more portable and easy for people to carry. And once his hit the press, he too became declared a heretic and was run out of town. This was the height of the Spanish Inquisition. One of the interesting stories from that epoch would be that of Julianillo Hernandez. He was a little man who was a Bible coal porter, and he basically was a Bible smuggler. He would put copies of the 1602 version in little casks, little barrels, inside big barrels of rum, and they'd smuggle them into Spain. Don't you love smuggling the Bible in casks of rum? You know, how do you talk about that to Baptists? Well, they couldn't catch him until one of the people that he offered a Bible to turned him in. He had literally distributed hundreds and hundreds of copies of the scriptures all over Spain. And finally, the Inquisition got him. For 21 years, they kept him in prison. They tortured him mercilessly. They were never able to break him. And when they finally sent him to be burned at the stake, he went out singing a ditty. Vencidos van los frailes, vencidos van. Cristo ha vencido. The friars are defeated. Christ has won the victory. Wow. That's the kind of stuff that is a part of the Hispanic Latino heritage. With a Bible, do you remember the dates, 1569, 1602? Let's see, that King James Version, that's 1611, 9 years later than the second edition of the Spanish Bible, if I do the math right. That's a past. What about the present? What is happening today all across South America is nothing short of astonishing. My doctoral student, Julio Guaneri, is writing his dissertation on COMIBAM, Cooperación Misionera Iberoamericana. It's a sort of Hispanic cooperative program that's interdenominational. In 1987, at the first of its congresses in Sao Paulo, Louis Bush, an Argentine, gave the theme for the organization, from mission field to mission force. In 1987, it was estimated that there may have been as many as 1,600 missionaries from Ibero-America. They were supported by 70 agencies. 20 years later, in 2007, we now report over 10,000 evangelical missionaries from Latin America, Spain, and Portugal, now supported by 400 missionary agencies. That is over a 600% increase in the foreign missionary force from the Spanish-speaking part of the world. God is up to something. Even an SMU professor of sociology, David Stahl, has written a book, and the title is Latin America Turning Protestant? Something is up. Philip Jenkins, in his book, The Next Christendom, speaks of the fact that the countries we used to think of as Christian may not be. But the new believing South is carrying the torch forward. And the center of gravity of Christianity has shifted so that the average Christian in today's world, today, 2009, is probably a brown-skinned woman living in a favela outside of Rio de Janeiro. Justice Anderson, my mentor and teacher at Southwestern Seminary, says that by the year 2050, only one-fifth of the world's 3 billion Christians will be non-Hispanic whites. In the USA, Hispanics grew by 33.1 million from 1970 to 2000, and by 2050, there will be 102.6 million Hispanics in the United States of America. When my daughter graduated from Rice just 4 years ago, she took her first job at Lopez Negrete, an Hispanic advertising public relations firm. They market to U.S. Hispanics only. That is a $225 billion market. These aren't people just coming across the river. God is really up to something. In fact, my student, Julio Guaneri, says that when you look at all of these statistics together, his statement is the potential for explosive growth is staggering. If you want to invest your life in a growing population that will yield results where God is clearly at work, where the leaven of the gospel can be mixed in with an ever-increasing lump, I challenge you to the Hispanic world and to the Latino world, to that one-sixth of the world's population that speaks Spanish. And I challenge my Hispanic brothers and sisters to be the torchbearers that will carry the gospel beyond the Spanish-speaking world, into the unreached peoples of the world. One of my students is telling me that Hispanics will be the very best missionaries in the Islamic world because of the cultural coincidences that occur there. So there's a past, there's a present, and very briefly, I'd like to talk about the future. For the future, I'd like to take an image from the well-known liberation theologian, Gustavo Gutierrez, Peruvian man, wonderful scholar, gentleman, with bracing ideas. He talks about the need for praxis. It's not enough to just have a good theologia to talk it well. He talks about you got to do it. And so he says that our theology is discovered in el camino, on the way. And he borrows a concept from Wolfhart Pannenberg, his teacher in Germany, and applies it in a new Latin American way. He takes the concept of Christology from below that I hope some of you are studying in your systematic theology classes, and says, actually, we need to understand missions from below. And he talks about the parable of the Good Samaritan. And he talks about a man who was beaten and robbed and lying half dead on the side of the road from Jericho up to Jerusalem. And he talks about the fact that some people, in the name of God, were able to cross the road and pass him by and never give a second glance. And what Gutierrez says is that neighborliness in Jesus' story is defined through the eyes of the man who's lying, beaten, robbed on the side of the road. And that the marginalized, the poor, the guys who the ones who are having a tough go of it, those are the ones who have God's heart. And that if we will identify with a living God, oh, we should do that in our prayers, in a throbbing heartbeat that reads the word and is nourished by it. But we should also do it by looking at life through the eyes of the guy on the side of the road. May God help us. That will define our future. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us in and through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the rich heritage that Hispanics bring to the table as servants of you. And we thank you that your gospel is alive and well all across South America, Central America, the Caribbean, across the Iberian Peninsula in Spain and Portugal. And we thank you that that the good news that Jesus saves does not belong to any cultural group anywhere, not even Hispanics, but it's our common heritage as sons of Adam who bear your image in our bodies. And we ask that because of that, that the name of Jesus would be preached to all of those who have yet to hear. Use us, Lord, if you will. In Jesus' name, amen.